Welcome back to part two of my folkin.com chat with Virginia Kettle. Where did Spy in a Previous Life come from? Because that's a cracking idealism, isn't it? That you, I've got to say, you know, a spy who drinks too much and lets the secrets out. It's like,
yeah, she, in my head, she's a really brilliant spy.
Yeah,
she can get into any society, and she speaks multiple languages. So she's, I think, she's an Austrian countess in the song, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
And she can draw out all the secrets, but then if she has a glass of wine, she just blurts them out to whoever's there because she can't take her drink. And it came from a show I did last year. I did a few shows, a little tour with it, actually, called Wine, Woman and Song.
Yep, I remember
and,
that.
And I don't know if you know, but I'm a really big fan of wine.
Yeah.
And the whole viticulture, the whole... I work in a museum as in my day job, and I took some ancient artifacts about winemaking. Mm. And there was some literature, right going back to ancient Greece, about wine. And the drinking of it, obviously, was involved.
Very important.
We had some tastings, blind tastings, and a quiz. And then these songs. And I wanted to write one original song for the show. So that's where it came from. And in a previous life, I'm not sure. I just like the idea that she was actually me, but in the late 1930s.
Yeah.
And I could still have little memories of her every time I had a glass of wine and thought, God, I better keep my God.
These secrets,
I must keep hang on to them.
You should make your own wine, really. You know, do a bit of...
Oh, I'd love to.
I think
mine would be rubbish. Can you imagine?
Well, you
imagine
know...
Imagine Mary Hell's Wigan wine.
Yeah, but
that
what a brand.
So rubbish.
What a brand. Red. Mary Hell Red.
Mary Hell Wigan Red.
Yeah, Wigan Red. That sorts out your Cabernets, that does. That's far better. Have a Wigan Red.
It's like paint thinner. That could be the slogan.
Yeah, don't
it's
drink
like
too much.
Paint thinner.
Don't drink too much. You won't get up till morning. Oh, man, that'd be brilliant. I'll tell you one of the songs I really like put together-wise on the album, which took me to a lovely place. I drifted off listening to it. It was the last track on the album called Falling.
Yeah.
Bit more of a standard love song, but it's so well put together, that. Lovely feel about
thanks.
The song. It's one of those songs that you can... kind of immerse yourself in. It's a bit like a hot bath, love. You know, you sink down into that hot bath and you have a listen to the song, and it's a wonderful song, wonderfully written. I put on my notes, beautifully crafted.
Oh, thank you very much. I love the hot bath analogy. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of what it felt like, you know. It kind of soothed you, but, you know, kind of there was always an underlying vulnerability about it as well. It really is a cracking album. You know, I was just going to say, and we fall victim of the blinking COVID again, you know, I was going to say, would you be going and doing some gigs with this album, you know, a little mini tour, if we can ever get out the door?
We're definitely hoping to continue where we left off, really, when we did some... pre-album gigs. I did some pre-copies, actually.
Yeah.
And we did a gig at the Brindley in Runbourne, which is a lovely theatre, literally days before lockdown. It was the last thing that we did. And that was to promote this new album, No Place Like Tomorrow, and played another couple of smaller ones. But we're hoping to carry on where we left off. So we're kind of frozen, aren't we? And when we get back out there, I think we're hoping in some way that also we'll have Mary Hell's new album. There'll be some No Place Like Tomorrow tour day not too far away as well. So there'll be lots of new songs from that as well.
I look forward to talking to you and doing another interview with Mary Hell about the new album. But I'm going to have to watch myself.
Over a pint, hopefully, at some point soon, Paul.
Like we did before at Cropperty, over a pint and a pie.
Yeah.
When we had a chat in the Brazed Nose up there. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Last time we spoke to you. But I'll have to watch now because I might turn up in... The situation might turn up in one of your songs later on.
Like, oh, yes, I'm sure it will.
You need to always be on your guard.
Sit up straight and always be aware.
Got to kind of watch my step, really, in a way, haven't we? I'll tell you what I think about this album, which I think would be a lovely thing to see live, is that it's a little bit more...
intimate.
That's the word I was looking for. Do you know what I'm in my head?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. It would be. It'd be really lovely.
Yeah.
In the smaller theatres and small venues.
because we're so used to, you know, the smoke mirrors and pyrotechnics with Merry Hell, which are absolutely wonderful, although you do some nice ballads as well, don't get me wrong, but it's a right, you know, it's, when you go and see Merry Hell, there ain't much time for sitting around, is there? If you do, you get told off by you for not dancing. So it would be kind of quite nice to sort of just almost like sit down and watch it in the theatre, love, you know, and listen to the Neil, is it on his acoustic bass, his big double bass, rather than, you know, his electric bass and that nice acoustic.
It'd be really lovely, and I think that I think you're absolutely right. That would keep the intimacy of it as well.
Nice acoustic.
I think you're absolutely right. That would serve it really well to keep the intimacy of it as well.
Yeah,
and, I hopefully think planning so. To do that. I would love to play in some forests as well.
Oh yeah. You know,
and people were just sitting around with their picnics and their glasses of wine and beers, and it was just lovely like that. So I'd love to do something like that. And of course, it's more socially distanced, which is a win-win, Paul. I think you'll find.
Of course it is, absolutely. You know, Glyndebourne are doing it. You could maybe get a gig at Glyndebourne Opera House down there and do it on the lawn. You know, that would be splendid.
Come on, let me in. I only want you, Woodland.
As long as it wasn't raining. Last time I went to Glyndebourne, I watched Comedy of Errors, Shakespeare, and it absolutely poured down with rain. So I put the dampeners on it a bit, and the field got rather muddy.
There is that slight fear of the elements, but I'm sure we'd cope.
But this could be like, you know, I think this album, for you to sit down and play this album, like around a campfire type environment, would be absolutely beautiful, where we can actually immerse ourselves in these lyrics. Because they're so well written and so nice lyrics. How long does it take you, just as a songwriter, I'm interested in, you know, your mind.
I find it quite quick to do, mostly. But I have to be in a certain frame of mind, and I definitely can't sit down with a pen in my hand and say I'm going to write a song. I can't do that.
No.
That doesn't work for me. I need to be putting the washing in, or being out for a walk somewhere, or just doing something that's not, so that my head is empty, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much in my case. But you know what I mean. I'm not focused. If I start to try and focus on something, it doesn't work.
No,
it's like you're thinking about nothing in particular,
yeah.
And then these little vignettes start to appear. The actual finding of the melody I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Guitar chords, I'm not the best guitarist, so sometimes John will say, well, why don't you just try going to that chord, or some diminished, tenuous fifth or ninth.
Oh, yeah.
And then the lyrics, is that's my thing. That's my, I find that an absolutely delicious process. And I've been saying this a lot recently. It's because you're so limited, that's the deliciousness of the challenge. You're not writing a novel, but you want to get in a whole story. So you're very much challenged as to what those precious words, they've all got to mean something. You can't have any extra words in there because there's not enough room. So it does really hone you down and focus your mind. And very often mine rhyme as well. So I'm trying to get this whole story, like Spy in a Previous Life. I wanted to have a bit of a refrain that we kept coming back to, you know, having a tipple or two. But tell this whole tale in just really a few lines, and I love that. That's what really floats my boat, you know, that bit of the process. I really enjoy it, so...
Yeah,
but all in all, to answer your question, not really very long. Once I've got the first idea, I'll commit myself then to starting to put it together. Very often on my phone, because I'm doing something else, so we've got loads of bits on the phone going... wherever you are, walking down the road or doing something around the house, just to remember those bits of words, and then I can start to put it together.
It's a great thing, and it's a great, you've got a great talent for doing that. And I think there's only a few people who have, to be fair. I was talking to Paul Simmons, and he was saying, oh God, you know, I've got so many songs running in my head, I can't get them all out, you know, and that must be a mad thing to have. He said he wakes up with songs in his head, you know, he goes to sleep, you know, to be that prolific must be great. I mean, I write quite a few songs, but if you put it kind of alongside a prolific writer like Paul or someone like that, then it's a fraction of what goes on in their minds. I don't know about you.
That's why we're bonkers. I think he's probably the same, just bonkers. And that's why you blurt things out like Terry's All Gold when you're in the middle of gigs.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I tend to go off in a little tangent, and Bonnie will say, are you going into daydream now? And I'm going, yeah, I've got this thing in my head, and I might just disappear into the studio. Drums for me, you know, I don't want to talk about too much into what I do, it's all about you, but drums, I've got this a fantastic system where you've got all these thousands of different drum beats and riffs that you can search through and make up drum pans. In fact, it really annoys my drummer. He hates it. When he comes down and I'm playing around, he says, will you stop playing with that thing? I was going, well, I'll just lay down. Just laying down the drum track.
Do you sometimes start your songwriting process with a drum beat?
Absolutely. That's the main
thing. Yeah, that's really unusual, you know.
Yeah. The main thing for me is to have, and I've always been the same in the bands I've played with, when we're setting up and the drummer's sorting out himself and the guitarist and bassist tuning up or whatever, if the drummer kicks off and just plays something to warm himself up, I find myself sort of joining in on the guitar and songs sort of come from that drum beat. I don't know quite why that is. I mean,
you've got a rhythm soul, haven't you? Definitely.
Yeah, I must have something.
You know, that's really interesting, Paul.
Or I could just be mental. Perhaps I need a psychologist. I don't know. But I find that, and I come in and I sit down and I get the easy drum pan thing out and I start playing the drums off on my keyboard, which I've got here, and then I get to a drum beat and go, oh, I like that. Then I'll pick up my guitar. I mean, what's all that about? Very strange.
Strange, but it's really good as well.
You know, it's just the way it is. It's just the way that it happens.
Definitely true. We're all different, though, aren't we? We're all different how we approach.
We're all completely barred.
Our writing, you know, in our band as well, Bob Kettle. He's probably less prolific. His whole approach is the other way round to me. He's very much with master craftsman at the word. He's much more methodical, I think, and it takes him a bit longer. But when this song appears, it's usually a real Merry Hell classic, you know. He's got some great ones on the new album. I can't just sit there, my head would go ridiculous. I wouldn't be able to concentrate at all. Start cleaning cupboards out or something.
Yeah, that's right, get the old dishcloth out and do the dusting. Have you got your own little studio at home, or do you tend to go to places to record, Virginia?
We've got John's taken over half the living room now. It's not a big house that we've got, and John, half of the living room is now a recording studio downstairs.
I mean, I'm lucky. I live in a mobile static home, actually, in Virginia, permanently 12-month residential. There's only 33 of us here.
So you're trailer trash then. That's very cool, actually. You and Tiffany. I think we're alone now.
Yeah.
She was a trailer girl as
I know. It wasn't
really...
There
doesn't seem to be anyone around.
That's me. I mean, it was just one of these things that happened, because I had a house in Rochester. When I got divorced, I had to sell it, and I wanted to be down by the coast, and this came up, and when we looked at it, there's this rather nice-sized concrete platform at the back of the static mobile, and I looked at Vonnie, and I said, you know what? What can I build on that? But it's big enough for a recording studio. So we'd done a deal.
That's where you are now. That's where your studio is.
That's where I am.
I'm
at the back of
brilliant.
And it's not quite attached to the mobile. There's about a 3-inch gap between the mobile. So I just come along my veranda, down the stairs, through the garden a bit, and into my studio, which strangely works quite well, because you're officially not working from home. You've got a little walk to the studio, you see. So it's like going to work. I've got to work now. Only takes 3 seconds to walk along the garden and into the studio, but you're still going, you know.
I bet you're still late, though. Sorry I'm late.
All the time.
Terrible. The walkway this morning, so much mud and scar.
Well, when I
had to get my Wellingtons,
etc. Absolutely. When the drummer's down, I just leave him, poor fella, and my breakfast. You seem to be quite happy in here. I'll finish my breakfast, but there you go. Such is life. Oh, Virginia, you know, it's been lovely to talk to you. I'm only winding us up now purely because I've only got 40 minutes on this, and it will cut us off, and I wouldn't want that to happen, because that's the way life is. But I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I love the album. I really do. And I'll tell you what, anybody listening to this, as I say, if you haven't got it yet, please go out and get it. It's Virginia Kettle's solo album, and it's No Place Like Tomorrow, and the songs are wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you doing some live stuff once we get over this COVID. You know, I really wish it would go away so we can all get back to normal,
I know. And all the good bits come back.
Yeah.
I know there's hopefully some changes as well afoot.
Yeah, I think so.
Way we think about our lives. I think everybody's slowed down, and that's a great thing. for many of us. But I just want to thank you, Paul, for all your support of me and Mary Hell, and we're really looking forward to getting back out there again.
Oh, you're totally welcome. You're a lovely bunch of fellows, and you know, we love you. You are the darlings of folk.com and the darlings of the folk scene at the moment. And
the absolute darlings of the folk scene.
Everybody loves Mary Hell.
Well, I am. The other lads are the dames. I'm the darling.
Well, actually, it is all about you, isn't it? You know, it's all about you. It's released on the 12th of July, which is available from everywhere, I suppose. Your Facebook, Amazon, maryhell.com. So maryhell.co.uk, you've got the lot, haven't you, really? It's very easy to get hold of it, so there's no excuse. Yeah. And in fact, if you don't buy it, Virginia will be after you.
I will, and I'll put you in a song and belittle you horribly, humiliate you.
That's right, if you don't buy the album, watch out, you're going to end up in a song. Thanks very much for talking to us. Love you lots, and we'll see you soon, okay? I hope to see you very, very soon on the circuit, if not, whatever, around somewhere, bump into you.
Yeah.
Lovely talking to you.
See you too.
See you later. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.